Are you already there? Galatians? Galatians, are we, I think, three more and we're done with the epistle of Paul to Galatia. But Galatians chapter 4, we're going to finish up chapter 4, and next week we're going to be chapter 5 and 6. It's a short epistle. Oh, 7. Yeah, up to 6. Are you all there? And the title of, let's read it first. 4 verses 21 to 31. Verses 21 to 31 of chapter 4. Okay. Verse 21 says, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bear children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stand for Mount Sinai in Arabia and correspond to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, 'Be glad, O barren woman, who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband.'" Verse 28, "Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? 'Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son.' Therefore, brothers, we are no children of the slave woman, but of the free woman." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for this epistle of Paul to the Galatians, Lord, that we pray for the Holy Spirit to illuminate to us, Lord, what we can learn from this scripture this morning, that we may be able, Lord, to apply in our daily life. And Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, how many of you remember the song, Born Free? Born Free. It was that Matt Monroe who signed that? Who sang that song? This is Born Free. No, I will not even. Sister Rosie. Born Free. There's a story about this radio personality, Paul Harvey, tells the story about an Eskimo who kills a wolf. And the first thing that the Eskimo is coat, put a shield and the knife, and put it in the blood of the animal, and allow it to freeze it, to be frozen. Then he will add another layer of blood, enter another, until the blade is completely concealed with frozen blood. And the next, the hunter fixes his knife in the ground with the blade up, so that when the wolf follows his sensitive nose of the source of the sin of the blood, he will discover the bait and he will start licking it, tasting the fresh fruits and blood. And it begins to leak faster and faster and more faster, lapping the blade until the edge is bare. Excitedly, harder and harder, the wolf licks the blade whole night. So great becomes his craving of the blood that the wolf does not notice the razor sharp knife as the become naked on his own tongue. Nor does he recognize the instance at which his greedy, voracious thirst of being satisfied by his own warm blood, his carnivorous appetite, just craves more until dawn, until he is dead in the snow. Though it may sound appealing to us, there's nothing essential wrong with the wolf appetite for blood. It was created and crafted with that craving. The wolf is also free from that trick that will force him to lick that sharp-edged sword, edged knife, and that he doesn't, because of his desire, he doesn't realize that he is already licking his own blood to the point that he will die. So that raises the question that we have this morning. How can God-given desire cause ungodly trouble? See, the text that we have, the answer is that when we try to accomplish God's purpose with the human plan, that's the story that we're going to look at this morning about Hagar and Sarah is about exactly that kind of trouble. And Paul uses it to illustrate the shortcoming and the consequences of our trying to short-circuit the God's plan for our lives. So first this morning, let's look up the two handicaps or shortcoming of trying to do God's work in man's way. First, we look up the two shortcomings. The first shortcoming is the human schedule. You know, we now in our current era, we look up the timeline. We see the timeline, and that the first timeline that we have is that there's a human schedule. Let's look up that Genesis 16:1-4. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife, and slept with Hagar, and she conceived. Mind you, that this is the norm of those age, those years. Abraham's age is about normal for a wife that doesn't have a child, and they offer their servant so that they may be able to have a child, and that's where they become concubines. But that's not the plan of God in the life of Abraham. And in fact, to do that is a sin. And Abraham knows exactly, he understood that God's plan was to bless him, and the world through him will have an offspring. And that was a good plan as far as Abraham was concerned. He wanted a family, he wanted a heritage, he wanted a something that he can treasure and that he can know that God's plan for his life. There was just one problem as far as Abraham was concerned. God then seems to did not seem to keep his promise to Abraham. And Abraham decided that his wife's suggestion was a good one. Primarily, I think, because God's timing did not match up with Abraham's timing. And I'm sure that none of us have ever felt that God was taking a little too long to accomplish the things that He wanted us and wanted in our life. For example, in most of our lives, but certainly not all of our lives, God has a plan that includes marriage, an ultimate romantic and sexual fulfillment. There's a lot of our young people this morning that decide, you know, they want to get married, but sometimes there's the men are not ready yet. And sometimes we use our own human timing. You know, sometimes we say that, well, I'm already 35. What do you call that clock? Biological clock is clicking. And I cannot wait. Right? And most of our when we still single at the age of maybe 35, we become, you know, become antsy, and man, when is that Romeo is gonna come? But God says, you know what? God says, you have to wait, right? And the same thing what happened to Sarah, and because Sarah is what? How old is Sarah at this time? 80, and then Abraham is about 90, and probably Abraham says, you know what? I'm already 90, and Sarah is 80. How can God make these things, can fulfill the promises? And that's what happened to Abraham. His timeline is not the same as timeline what God is. So allow these things, and again, this is not God's plan for their lives, and marrying somebody, you're married, and then the maidservant will the wife will offer you maidservant, and probably, you know, for Abraham, I hope there is no Abraham here this morning that they're gonna take their maidservant. Amen. It's easy to allow that God-given desire to give way something ungodly. What we really desire is what God wants most for all of us. Amen? But when you get impatient with God's schedule, when you get impatient with God's timeline, we end up with something worthless, and sometimes it's shameful. Amen? The same can be said for any of the other human path to pleasure. We get impatient with God's timing and try to fulfill our God-given desire. Amen? And sometimes we turn to alcohol and sometimes drugs and sometimes inappropriate relationship. Amen? And sometimes we cannot wait, and then you ended up with making a wrong decision. Amen? And God-given desires and needs for happiness is significance, and then we talk about intimacy. But when we try to get away from God's timeline, God's schedule, we get what it looks appealing until you get into it. Amen. So it's just like you know, last week I tried to grill a pompano. And it was frozen, and I kind of feel it. I said it's okay. So I kind of grilled the pompano, and the outside is already well done. But then there is a dried ice inside. It looks like it's well done outside, but inside there's a dried ice, and it's bloody. Huh? It was raw. It was raw. And so sometimes it's still bleeding. So our human schedule is first shirt coming, and that's what you're trying to force the pompano to be well done when inside it's still raw. Amen? And the same thing, that's what happened to our lives when we try to get away in God's timing. And we do it in our own timing. So human schedule is the first shortcoming of trying to accomplish a godly purpose with a human plan. Amen? So the first thing, that the true shortcoming, that when we try to get away from God's timeline and fit into Eduardo's timeline, you're going to have a human scheduling. And then the second one is the human strength. In human strength, in verse 23, Paul says, his son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. So Abraham tried to take the short road of God's plan, and he did so in his own power. He knew that there was not anything he could do to make Sarah conceive, and so he settled for what he could accomplish. He got the slave girl pregnant, so it worked. Abraham became a dad. Funny though, it was not very satisfying. See, when we get away from God's plan, it will not give you the joy that will last forever. Amen? If we're trying to divert, we're trying to accomplish what God's plan for our life, chances are we're going to be ended up in misery. Can everybody say amen? 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 That's why we have to learn. Sometimes it says wait, and sometimes it says no. But we have to learn. We have to be in God's timeline instead of our own timeline. And then not only that, there's a human scheduling, but there is a human strength. Amen? So Sarah, he knew that there was nothing in it, anything he can do to make Sarah conceive. So he settled for what he can accomplish. He got the slave girl pregnant, and it works, and Abraham became a dad. Funny though, he was not satisfied, because it didn't fulfill the longing God has put in his heart. Amen? God, there's something in there that God put inside of you, that if you cannot use that and you do it your own strength, you're going to be in misery. Amen? And here's the application to illustrate to what Paul has been teaching us for the last weeks in Galatians. Remember what we had been learning from the last couples or 4 weeks already? Paul is teaching us that we are free. Amen? That we have been set as free, the freedom, the fellowship that we have, and then the fervency that the Holy Spirit give it to us, because there will be a fervent desire inside of us. And that's the Holy Spirit is the one putting it inside of us, the fervency, and that we have fellowship. Amen? And this is the weakness of the law, the slavery of the law. And the law could not save us. Amen? The law could not save us. The Ten Commandments could not save you. Amen? The Ten Commandments is just expose you. Right? It's just show that you cannot, without the Savior, without Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not following the Ten Commandments. It's having, thank you, God bless you. Amen? So that means that's true. Amen? When somebody sneezes, when you're making a statement and he sneezes, that means he's agreeing with you. Thank you, Kenny boy. Amen? So the law, it makes you a slave. The law, it just put a something in your neck. What do you call that? Huh? The yoke. It put a yoke in your shoulder so that you're gonna carry that for the whole time, but it will not bring you to heaven. Amen. Slavery to the law amounts to our looking on what God wants our life and trying to externally to make our life look like that by following the sets of rules. Amen. The law, the Ten Commandments, is a set of rules that it cannot save you. It cannot bring you to heaven. That's what Paul has been trying the Galatians, the people in Galatia, about the law, the contrast of the law, and by faith on Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So your life may look crispy and delicious, but inside still raw. It's still raw chicken because you don't have the strength to accomplish all that God wants you. He wants you to give up trying to make yourself good enough. Amen? To recognize that He's paid the price, He wants you to hand it over to Him so that your transformation comes from Him by the renewing of your mind. Amen? It not comes from the law. It did not come from the Ten Commandments. It comes by having faith in Jesus Christ. See, it's not by trying. By having faith in Jesus Christ. By trusting. It's not by trying. It's not by doing it. But by trusting on what God has done in the cross for your life. Amen? This is a leap of faith. This is the new understanding of what spirituality and Christianity is. Because I used for 30 years to believe that there's a sets of rules that I can go to heaven by doing the sets of rules, by doing the Ten Commandments, until I was been set free. Then God gave me a freedom to select, to choose. God says that I give you death and life, but I want you to choose life, not death. Because in putting your life to death, to the law, you're putting your life, you're dead. But with the new command, with in faith in Jesus Christ, you have life. That's why I said, I give you to choose life instead of to choose death. Amen? Are you with me this morning? So the Bible makes it plain that once we make this leap of faith, that a change takes place from the inside out. Amen? Because God works inside of us. It's not in outside appearance. It's not by skin. It's not by our nose or it's not by the way we speak. It's the way how we put our trust on Jesus Christ. Amen? Trying to do God's work in man's way, it will short circuit that joy that is falls short of God's goal because it relies upon a human schedule and upon human strength. Amen? So let's take a look at the consequences. We have the first two is the shortcoming. The shortcoming by doing our own will, our own timeline compared to God's timeline. Each one of us, God has a timeline to each one of us. Amen? My timeline is different than your timeline. And your timeline is different from my timeline. God's timeline is different than what you have. Amen? And we need to recognize that. Or else we're gonna believe that the lie of the devil, and we're gonna be and you're gonna walking with God with your head bowed down because you look like a defeated enemy. But God says already, Paul said that you have the freedom. You can fellowship And mind you again on that fellowship, it could not take it from my heart, the word fellowship. We need each other. Amen. We need the fellowship. But remember on the story about the paralyzed man, that he was carried by four men. He brought them to the house, but then the house is full of people. So they went on the top of the rope, and then they opened, and then they lowered the paralyzed man. Right? How many of you can remember that story? So what is the moral of the lesson of that? How does that thing apply in our life? Amen? That means that all of us, we need people that will encourage us. All of us, we need people that will carry us when we cannot do it in our own self. Amen? And that is true in our lives. We not only that we need somebody that is younger, that we can pour out our life to them, but we need somebody that can carry us, that they can pour out our life to our life. Amen? We need that. Amen? So there is the shortcoming, and now that there is a human schedule, there's a human timeline, and there's a human strength, but then there are also two consequences. See, when we do not follow God's timeline, there will be a consequences that will come to our life. Amen? The result is a separation. Result in separation. When we cannot try, when trying to do God's work in man's way, the consequences is the result in separation. Galatians chapter 4, verse 29 to 30, it says, at that time the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. So before Hagar and Sarai, they are together. They live together. But because of that breaking the plan, the timeline of God to Abraham and Sarai, and it result to separation. Immediately when Sarai and Abraham attempt to take the shortcut to God's plan, fellowship is broken. See? Fellowship is broken. Hagar begins to despise her mistress. Later, the child of that union despises the younger brother. See? There is a result when we don't follow God's timeline in our life. Amen? We need to follow God's timeline in our life. Each one of us, there's God's timeline in our life. Don't mix up with your timeline. Amen? And the same happened to us when we take the path that leads Abraham to Hagar's tent. Whether it's to be the camp of slavery or to the sin or slavery to law, which experience dissatisfaction and separation. That's what the result is dissatisfaction and then separation. We will separate, they will separation in their fellowship. And we go to the path of sin to short circuit God's plan. We are to rake. And there will be guilt. Guilt is so powerful that it's so powerful isolator. We feel separated from God because we feel separated from our brothers and sisters because we are, sometimes because we have broken faith with them or treated them badly or simply because of our shame. Do you know that guilt is a very strong isolator. It isolates us. When we break God's timeline in our life. And you don't realize that. Do you think that you're the only one affected? But you know, it affects your brothers and sisters in the church. It affects your family. And even affects the people that you work with. Amen? And that's what God is trying to tell. See, sometimes we say, why did God allow Hagar and his son, and remember this son is still young, to separate and lived Sarai and Abraham? Because God wants to have a clean and pure a family in his life. You see, God could not tolerate sin. He could not tolerate sin in our life. Amen? And that's why sometimes you feel like you have been isolated. And the same thing happened to Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross, he felt like the Father has been despising. See the feeling of that sin in our life. Amen? When we are enslaved of the sin, when we are enslaved of the law, that's how the feeling of Hagar and Ishmael. Amen. When we are enslaved by the law, we are disappointed because we don't experience the full and joyful life God intends for us. And sometimes we say, you know what? This is hard, God. This is too much for me. But God is not after your comfort again. That's where we come. God is not after your comfort. He wants your character. See, he wants your character to be molded in his son's image in our life. And sometimes God, you know, sometimes we say that, you know what? I will not suffer this long. I'm gonna do my own way. I'm gonna do my own strength. I'm gonna do my own timeline. God is not making his promise true to me. Amen. So that's the consequences when you do it in your own strength. Amen. See, we are not united with our brothers and sisters because the law makes us play the comparison game. Paul quotes Sarah's line from the story of Genesis. It says, get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's sons will never share in the inheritance. See, the slave woman following the law, following the Ten Commandments, you cannot share the inheritance God has intended for you and me. Amen? I think this is Paul's way of making it clear that mix of grace and works, such as Judaizer were suggesting, could never work out. Because the Judaizer enforced to those who believe in Jesus Christ that these people that believe in Jesus Christ, they need to go to a ceremonial procedure. And that's why grace and law doesn't mix up. It doesn't work out. And that's what Paul is telling the Galatians. He said that the grace could not mix up with the law. That's what Paul is emphasizing the Galatians. Amen. We must fully understand that God alone has saved us. And there is no credit for us. We have simply come as a beggar receiving the gracious gift of God. That God himself and God alone. You cannot be saved by grace plus the Ten Commandments or plus the circumcision or plus whatever it is. You are only saved through grace by faith on Jesus Christ. That's what Paul has been instilling it to Galatians, because we need to understand that because there is no life in the law. The law or the Ten Commandments is only there so that that expose us that we need a Savior. Amen? The second consequences of trying to accomplish God's work in man's way is that we had been talking about a few weeks is the result of slavery. In verse 25, it says, "Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children." See, Paul uses the allegory of Mount Sinai and Hagar. Do you know why? Because Mount Sinai, that's where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. So that's he allegorized that Hagar is about the Mount Sinai in Arabia and correspond even to the present city of Jerusalem. So slavery to sin is much like killing a wolf in the Eskimo way. The desire itself drives us, consumes us. What seems to be an exercise in freedom is ultimately a cruelest slavery. The drug addict on the street has less freedom than a convicted person in the jail. Amen? It's just like, see, in the Philippines right now, it's hundreds and hundreds of people that are being killed in the street. And they say that these are drug pushers or drug carrier. But they say because they are enslaved of drugs. They're consumed, and it's because the bottom line is about money. See, they are consumed of that desire or that appetite. And slavery to sin is much just like killing an Eskimo way. And consuming what seems to be an exercise in freedom is ultimately the cruelest slavery. The drug addict on the street. Nor does the run of the male good person outside of Christ any freedom than either of them. Each of us lives in bondage to desires. Desires which point ultimately to the kind of a fulfilled life God intended us to have. But left our own devices, we helplessly seek to fulfill them at the times in a ways or degrees which ultimately harms us. So slavery to the law is no better. Though we may be working for what seems obviously to be God's will for us, we do it not out of a freedom to fulfill God's best for us, but out of constraint, out of obligation. And the same thing, when you come to church, because you are, Pastor Ed obligated you, that means you're under the law. That means Pastor Ed is probably instructing you that if you don't come to church, you will not get inheritance. Not my inheritance, but God's inheritance, because I don't have nothing to give you. Amen? So if you come to church or if you give tithes because you feel like you're super spiritual, that you feel like you're richer than the rest of us here, then that's the law. You give tithes because you love God. Amen? Because you help pastors in the Philippines to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You give because there is an orphanage that we support, that those people that their parents have left them. And now they have a life in Jesus Christ that is not raw, but fully cooked. Amen? So slavery is no better. Slavery in the law is no better. It's just like a pompano. You grilled it, but still there is a frozen ice inside. Amen? So fortunately for us, we don't have to be slave to either sin or the law. God's grace has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. If you put Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life, you are under grace. Amen? That's the greatest news that we can hear. The good news also is that His mercy, what is His mercy? Endures forever. And His mercy is new every morning. I don't have to put my head every morning, but I can rise up and go on what God wants me to do because He gave me grace. His mercy is new every morning. Amen? Amen? See? So as a final verse in our text, it says, "Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of a free woman. And that since you are free, you have inheritance from heaven." Amen? Is that good news? Yes. Hallelujah. You don't have to allow this guilt to consume you. Right, sister? You know, God has take away this guilt from me. Every morning, I am new. Amen? Shall we all stand? Oh, hallelujah. Shall we sing "Born Free"? No. Are you free? Are you guys are free? Huh? Hallelujah. You don't have to carry this guilt anymore. Because guilt has been taking care of that when He died for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank You this morning. Thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy that are new every morning. And Father, we thank You that You have given us a choice. Death and life. And You said, take life. Because with You, Lord, we have life everlasting. And Father, we pray, Lord, for every person that stands before You today. Father, we pray that they are free indeed, Lord, because they have trusted You. And if there's any here, Lord, this morning that have not trusted You, that they have not known You, Lord, of who You are, Jesus Christ, that when you're still sinner, Lord, then You have died for them, Lord, that You have died for us. And Father, we pray that You will speak to them, Lord. We pray for Your Holy Spirit to touch their heart, to let them know, Lord, that there is life, life everlasting, that we have a timeline from You, Lord God, that we surrender our own timeline, Lord, that we surrender our own human strength, Lord God. We surrender our own human schedule, Lord. We give it all to You, Father God, because Your timeline is better, Lord, that Your thoughts is higher than our thoughts. Our ways, Your ways is higher than our ways, Father God. So we come to You this morning, Lord. We surrender our life to You, Father God. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we pray for Your Holy Spirit to touch each one of our lives today, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that we surrender our life, totally surrender our life to You, Lord God. Because in You, Lord, there's joy, Father God. I don't have to go around, Lord, with my head down, Lord. But we can go and move, Lord Jesus. Because You move and have our being, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that teaches us, that confirms us, Lord, that we have inheritance from heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, we thank You. And we pray, Lord Jesus, as we bring our tithes and offering to Your storehouse, that there will be no need in Your house, Lord. That every need, Lord, are fulfilled, Lord God, because of the love of my brothers and sisters this morning, overflowing. And Father, we thank You, Lord, today. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we, as a church, Lord, we lift up to you, Pastor Manny, Lord, in the Philippines. His blood counts is going up and down, Lord, and the fever, Lord, has been disabled, Lord, in doing the work that you have called him to do. And so we lift him up to you, Lord, this morning. Father, we pray that you will touch his whole body, Lord. Let this blood count, Lord, back to normal, Father God. And Father, we thank you, God, that we can come to you and lift up one another, Lord, in your house, Father God. And Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.